everybody. You're listening to A Date with Dateline. This is Kimberly.
This is Katie.
And this episode is called The Fire Inside. Inside what? Inside a basement? Bedroom? I guess as opposed to an outside wildfire? But when I hear the fire inside, I automatically think of chlamydia. So I don't think it's a great title.
No, I was right there with you because immediately I was thinking of Fire Down Below. And Fire Down Below used to be a euphemism that our very good friends Greg and Jessica would use for someone who was a ginger.
Oh.
For, you know, that was their euphemism. It was Fire Down Below. So when I saw the fire inside, I was like, oh, I hope there's a ginger in this episode.
No gingers.
Not a one.
No, just a lot of Guidos.
Well, no, and a lot of hippies.
Yes.
Lots of them. All of this whole thing should have taken place in Berkeley or Humboldt.
Yes.
The whole thing, except for the accents. Just
yes, it was Berkeley Birkenstocks met with Jersey accents.
It was bizarre.
It was a strange, bizarre world that I did not know existed in. So it's just starting over. This episode is called The Fire Inside. It aired July 14th, 2017, season 26, episode 40. The lovely Andrea Canning reports, our new follower on Twitter, Andrea Canning.
Woohoo! And thank you, yes, Andrea.
She says that this episode is a lurid tale of sex and jealousy, to which both of my parents, who I was watching the episode with, go, ooh, at the exact same time. Soulmates. So that you're going to hear a lot about my parents' reactions to this episode. They are huge Dateline fans, by the way. March 6th, 2017, in Teaneck, New Jersey.
That was odd.
No, never heard of it. But thick accents in Teaneck. This Guido guy is a volunteer firefighter, and he gets a flat tire, and he sees this house on fire. Coincidentally, it's just weird that he was a volunteer firefighter, sees a fire, does nothing to help.
He did. He banged on the
door. He called 911. Yeah, I guess he looked at the lights. He thought no one was home because the lights were dark.
He tried.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I don't blame you, guy. The victim is 59-year-old Rob Cantor, who I think was the hippie you're referring to. He kind of looked like a hippie, right?
Well, we see two pictures of him, and both of which he's in a North Face jacket with scruffle. No, he looked like a hippie. I think he wears
Birkenstocks with socks.
Well, as he got older, before he hit 60, he wore them without, and then at 60, with socks because diabetes and circulation.
He died at age 59, so sadly he never reached 60, Katie. Way to bring it up.
He was 59?
Yeah, he looked a bit older.
Are you serious? I had no idea. You're lying to me.
That's what I got from the episode. I could be wrong. That's what I wrote down.
59?
How old did you think?
Oh my
gosh. This is our ongoing question about the people on Alaskan Bush people guessing how old they are. And you always guess 20 years too old because the Alaskan Bush is rough living.
I did. I thought he was 70, 71, 68 to 71.
Yeah. It's at 59. Katie is in shock right now. She's leaning back. I've never seen her so shocked. Usually a murder would make people this shocked. It is the age of someone that is making Katie this shocked.
I had no idea.
It
changes everything
for me. Straggly hair, because he looks so scruffy, kind of.
But we also didn't get great pictures of him. No. So, I mean, he just sort of looked like a grandpa.
Who maybe uses that all-natural Tom's toothpaste.
Definitely uses all-natural Tom's toothpaste, Tom's deodorant, or maybe no deodorant, maybe rubs a crystal under there, whatever's going on that people do.
I don't know if that's right. Oh, God, I was going to go to Gwyneth Paltrow Goop. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know
what you're talking about. They put crystals other places. It's just horribly wrong. So he was 59, according to my notes. Again, I could be wrong. The autopsy found that it was not the fire that killed him. It was a bullet in the back of his head. He was shot execution style. Now, Dateline says we're going to learn about two other arson murders. Murders that arson tried to cover up. And could those killers be the same killer that killed Rob Cantor? So everyone loved this Rob Cantor. He was an amazing guy. He probably loved life, but I feel like in a very toned down, mild way. Just a gentle way.
They never say anything about him loving life.
They said he was an amazing guy. No yes, one they could say he a was bad pleasant. Word about him.
He was pleasant and nice. Yeah.
That's why I feel like he loved life in the most walk in the park, just smelling the roses. That was his big day. I went for a walk in the park today. Sweet. Right, that's he had a simple life.
So he's a nature guy.
Is he? I don't know why that up.
I mean, I assumed that he was a nature guy too, but now I'm looking at my notes and I'm remembering about him being a software engineer.
Yeah, but for some reason we've painted him as a hippie who smokes marijuana all the time.
Yeah, we're going to leave it at that. We're going to leave it like that. That's how he was.
This is how we're picturing him, because they really didn't give us very much to go on.
Forget that he was a software engineer. Yeah,
it didn't happen. Okay, so there were 3 arson homicides in the county in the past year. This was the third. Dolores, who was an older woman, not the best photo of her, and Joan, who was 74, who was a community activist. She seemed pretty awesome. So Rob Cantor, the victim, had been getting some creepy emails from strange email addresses saying they knew where he was. They had seen him meet with the lady. We meet this Sergeant Celia Love, who I feel like we've met on another Dateline. She seemed very familiar to me. I noticed almost nothing about her. Twitter was a buzz. They thought her arms were so jacked. They were obsessed with her inviting them to the gun show. Did you notice?
That's hilarious. I didn't know. I noticed something that we can discuss later.
About
Celia? You may have noticed this.
That she was in the trial the whole time? In the front row?
It was much more about her reckless side eye at trial.
Yes. God, she's just right there in the front row. Her facial expressions are drawing all the focus away from the lawyer.
You can't have a jury see one of the main investigators on the case giving side eye to the defense attorney.
She was throwing so much shade at the defense attorney. She almost fully was like, really? Like, I expected something audible and the judge would have to be like, Miss Love, please stop. Because she was right there.
Can we remove Ms. Love from the front row?
So, 2 women in Rob's life, his lover, ew. I really thought we had made it so clear to Dateline that we stringently oppose the word lover being said by any host in all capacities across the board.
It's in all the articles, too, about this
his
case.
His lover, Sophie.
It's every single one. Yeah, his lover. Why don't you just say mistress? Yes.
Okay, so his lover, Sophie Manu, who is super French, like crazy French, like super a French caricature of a person, and his wife, Susan, who he was estranged from. They were planning to get a divorce. So she kind of has an alibi, the wife. She was on the phone with a friend the night of the murder. Sophie, the lover, had seen him hours before he died. He and some guy friends had driven into New York City to meet her and her 8-year-old daughter at a museum, which is the weirdest group date I've ever heard of. Mm-hmm. They tell Sophie that he was murdered, and she's crying. And then they tell her where he was murdered, in the bedroom basement. She starts sobbing hysterically. And Andrea is puzzled, as one would be. And Sophie, the lover, says that the bedroom basement makes her cry because it was the first place they consummated their relationship. This episode, I can't. My dad yells out, too much information, and I concur. It's a problem. We do not need to know where you consummated. But it turns out it's actually like key to the case. Oh my God, do we hear so much about their having sex in this basement. Oh, we also find out that my dad does not think Sophie is a looker like Andrea Canning. So, just in case you were wondering.
Oh, your dad. Oh, your dad.
Just in case you were wondering what Bob thinks. He was not as impressed with Sophie.
Wow.
He really loves Andrea, though. The twist is that so while Rob is still married but kind of getting a divorce, Sophie is also married to this Asian New Jersey man named Tony Tung. And it is very rare to see an Asian person on Dateline. And I love the equality they're having this season. Any race can kill you. It's great. So any sexual orientation, any race, any age can be a murderer. They're just going across the board. Open equality, arms, a Benetton ad, that's this season. It's been great. So we've had lesbians.
Season 25.
We've had old people. We've had young people, teenagers. We've had black people, white people. Now we have an Asian person. It's great.
It's great.
So it's all about equality on Dateline. Okay, so Tony was Mr. Mom, taking care of the kids. People on Twitter found this very offensive. Apparently, you are not supposed to say Mr. Mom anymore because dads are expected to take care of the kids just like moms are. Like when my friend Greg says he's babysitting his son, you're not babysitting. You're the dad. You're supposed to, the mom doesn't call it babysitting when she's with her child. So they don't like the Mr. Mom thing.
I'm sorry. I think that I just immediately assume that they're referring to the movie where he stays home and takes care of the kids.
Yes,
it's Michael Keaton.
But it's not supposed to be so unusual that you make a catchphrase about it.
They're not just, but why can't they just say it like it's? They're talking about the movie. He's a Mr.
Because
Mom.
Because the movie was made 1,000 years ago, and nowadays it's fairly common. So you're using the phrase like mom implies taking care of the kids. So a Mr. Mom is a guy who does the woman's work.
I'm upset.
You sound really upset.
I am. I'm upset.
Okay. So speaking of upset, Tony was upset to learn about Sophie's affair.
Yeah.
But he's kind of over it now, he says. He's like, that was like a year ago. I am not still mad about that. So by the time Rob was murdered, he's all cool with it. Oh, and then my dad starts to talk about Frank, my mom's imaginary boyfriend who lives upstairs, because my dad is stuck downstairs in the hospital bed recovering from his hip surgery. And so he thinks that my mom has an imaginary boyfriend, Frank, who lives upstairs. So whenever my mom goes upstairs, my dad's like, how's Frank? Did you tell Frank I said hi? And I don't want to share you with Frank anymore. You could just have him. I'm going to leave. So getting back to the show, Rob's friends are upset that it's taking so long to convict anybody. So they start picketing outside the government buildings, including this one coworker who is amazing. He looks like an extra on The Sopranos. He sounds like one, but seems like he has a heart of gold and he really loved Rob. And
really loved Rob.
Rob was his coworker. Just a coworker, but a strong bromance there. And, ooh, I just got an alternate theory.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I have an alternate theory about
so
leather jacket.
So they really want this kid. Did he have a leather jacket?
Yeah,
he did.
He had a puffy leather jacket.
Asian Tony Tung admits that he
don't
went...
Don't qualify it.
Okay,
just Tony.
Tony Tung. Can I say Tony Tung?
You could say Tony
That's
Tung.
His name.
It's his name.
He has such a thick Jersey accent.
He definitely does. His accent I didn't feel like was prevalent the entire time. All of a sudden, it hit me with a bang later on. But I'll tell you when. You're not there yet. Okay, so press on.
Do little kids in New Jersey have that accent? Like
yeah,
on the playground?
Yeah, I think it's adorable.
I want to see one. I don't think I've seen one.
I think bullying is a whole different thing in New Jersey. If a little kid...
You
your mom smells.
Like...
Your dad is poor.
I do think it's like, my dad will kill you and put you in a dumpster.
I know.
Do you think it's like mafia?
Give me that Twix bar.
Talk?
I want that Twix.
Okay. So Tony Tung admits that he went to Rob's house to ask him to stop the affair. I guess that's something you do. You go, hey, will you please stop having an affair with my wife? And then the other person's just like, sure. But Rob didn't say sure. Rob was like, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you. That's what he said. I'll have to think about it or something. I'll get back. Can I catch you on the flip side? Can I have a rain check on
let
that
Let me see
whole
her
deciding?
A few more times and then I'll let you know. How about that? Let's do it that way.
He says more things at this point, but I don't know what he said because my mom and dad were discussing how Andrea's green sweater brings out the color in her eyes. So I missed a large chunk of what he was saying.
Of what Tony was saying?
Yes. I did catch that he said that he and Rob had light chit-chat when he went to go visit him.
Yes.
And then he asked to see the basement bedroom where Rob had sex with his wife. What? He wanted to see how she was treated. Like how Rob treated her. In a crappy basement. And he's like, you took my wife down there? And he really has the Guido accent there. But he wants to see it. And he's so offended that his wife was bedded in this basement bedroom.
Yeah.
He would have been okay maybe if it was a nicer bedroom. Like if there were roses on it. And it had curtains and windows. And wasn't in a basement. Or is he thinking, my wife would rather have sex in this basement dungeon than with me?
This is not, I don't know why we're so caught up on the basement, or why Tony is. The daughters live down there, the teenage daughters of Rob and his wife. Sorry, what's the wife's name? What's wrong with me?
Susan.
Rob and Susan. So the girls lived, or in high school, that was their hangout in their bedroom in the basement.
They visited there when they came back from college.
No, it was not. They hung out in high school. They wanted the basement bedroom, probably because it's more private. I guess we can get into the basement now because, well, maybe you're going to get to this, but it sort of comes out in the conversation that I guess why they kept going down to the basement is that Susan still lived there. Did you get that?
Yeah, I guess so.
At all?
Yeah, I think that's true. But they weren't when she was there, right?
Well, I don't know, maybe. But then when did Susan move out? Because I seem to remember earlier in the episode, they're very specific that they're estranged, separated.
Yeah.
I mean, also, look, New Jersey, New York apartments are crazy expensive, right?
Right.
So maybe they owned this house without how they were going to split up the New Jersey house yet. And so she was still living there. And so was Rob sneaking her into the basement?
No, I sort of got the feeling he wanted to be respectful and not have sex with his mistress in his marital bed.
Yes.
So instead, he had it in his children's bed in the basement.
Oh, I'm going to throw up. That's terrible.
That was sort of my impression.
Did your parents have any reaction to the basement situation? Did they have anything to say about that?
No, nothing. But to me, the basement was a full theme of this episode. The fact that it caused Sophie, the French lover, to burst into tears because it was where they consummated. Like, it was this magical location that she will never forget. And then it's where the fire started. Hello. We just know too much about this basement, I think. But it gets even weirder. So Tony not only asks to see the basement, he goes back to visit Rob two more times. And they have these cordial talks. He's like, we had a lot in common. We both like food and, you know, screwing my wife. And Andrea just cannot believe this. What?
No, she can't.
Oh, okay. You both like to eat? Okay, sure. That's great. He says this was a year before the murder, though. So, he says he was over it by this time.
Yeah.
He says the night of the murder, he was at home watching TV, reading, cleaning the computers, which I was, what? So dumb. I'm picturing wiping them down, like, with a damp cloth.
Oh, I thought that, too. You're not. Don't worry about it.
That's what I was picturing.
But no, I think that cleaning, here's the deal. The reason I thought it was wiped down, did you see the pictures of his office?
No.
Oh my goodness. Hoarder filthy. Just stuff piled all around. They kept showing this one picture. Did anybody on Twitter say anything?
No.
All right, I'll post a picture on Facebook. It was crazy. I was like, yeah, he had to clean it.
Oh my gosh.
Because it probably had, you know, like, rock star spilled on it. I don't know. It was gross. There were like cans.
Didn't he say, wasn't
stuff.
It like an office workspace that he had with her money after the kids started school? I think he started a computer business in the garage or something with her money.
They said that he started a store or a repair
store. Something like that.
But,
yeah. But you're saying
but
it
the
was
store,
like cans.
Papers and office stuff and just stuff everywhere. It was a mess.
Wow.
So I legit thought cleaning was
actually
scrubbing
wiping
down
data. Yeah.
As well.
Okay, good.
Not wiping data.
Well, we find out that it actually meant wiping data. And that all of those mysterious emails that Rob was getting came from Tony. The night of the murder, he wiped all his computers, tons of data. And that was enough for them, that he did it the night of the murder. So they arrest him. He points out that he was arrested in his boxers. Thanks for that visual, Tony. So the trial starts. And the prosecution says that the reason that this murder happened after a year of nothing happening is that Tony found out that day that Rob had met his daughter, like one of the children, that Sophie had introduced Rob to one of the children. And that was the thing that broke the camel's back, and that he somehow went to New Jersey and shot him. Okay, Sophie takes the stand with the thickest French accent I've ever heard. She's like a cartoon skunk French accent.
Very thick.
Right? So She says that her and Rob met at a science lecture and found out they both love running. So they start having an affair, as you do. So I guess
you do.
I guess I'll never have an affair because you will never see me at a science lecture or running ever. They
you just won't have an affair with Rob or people like Rob.
That's true. So they go to the bedroom. She tells this story in the basement and she says they made love. And I don't know what the better phrase is for it, but I don't need a French woman who has been referred to as a lover who also said consummated. Also saying making love. It's just too much. That is three strikes and you're out, Sophie. I can't with you right now. I'm done. I'm watching this episode with my parents, by the way. This is now getting more uncomfortable than when we watched Devil's Advocate together in the theater.
Oh, God. And in the theater?
Yes. And there's like a three-way. There's a lesbian sex. There's just all sorts of naked. You see Charlize Theron's vagina. It's just... It is so uncomfortable.
No. The minute that started happening, you needed to be, I have a really bad stomach ache. That's when you fake appendicitis. And you fake an emergency.
Do I take us all out of the theater or do I just go to the bathroom and hide for the rest of the movie?
No, you say, I'm so sorry. We have to go home. My stomach hurts so bad. That's when you pull that because you know that it's just going to get worse. The minute that stuff starts happening, you got to cut your losses. You don't want that memory.
These are the lessons that I did not know in high school, but we're helping people. So
that's horrible.
Kids out there, if you're watching with your parents.
That's what you do.
Devil's Advocate or... Harold and Kumar, the second one, where all the girls are wearing tops but no bottoms.
Why are you going to R-rated movies with your parents that are not diehard? Those are fine. Go see any of the, you know, X-Men, whatever, with your parents.
So now I'm just all over the
place. Okay, sorry. We are at Sophie's. Sophie is giving testimony in a silky blouse. So, which we'll get to. I have a thing about Sophie's courtroom outfits, but it's fine.
So,
press on.
Going back to Sophie, she seems to agree with what we said earlier, that Tony is mostly upset about the fact that they slept together in this basement bedroom and the fact that Rob is an older man. If it was a younger hot guy and in a Ritz-Carlton suite, he would have been okay with it. But he seems to really not like the basement and the fact that Rob is so much older. So after Sophie testifies, Rob's wife / ex-wife, Susan, embraces her and they hug and they cry, the two women. It was beautiful, but also gross because she was the lover and she had just heard about consummating. And
you said lover a lot.
They said lover a lot.
I think that we established that lover was okay if the person was French. And this is, Sophie is as French as it gets.
Did we say We've that rule? Did you establish that rule?
In a previous episode, might have been Secret in the Desert. It's one of those other episodes, one of our earliest episodes.
I can buy saying that. I don't remember, but I can.
I think I said it and you disagreed, but it's true.
That sounds right. So. Definitely sounds right. Me disagreeing with you always sounds right. We find out that Tony went and bought a gun a year before the murder. It's very interesting. So my mom goes, hey, I think that defense lawyer has a dangling earring. And we all make fun of her. And we're like, no, you're seeing things, mom. So Tony is in shock that Andrea thinks, this is where I started to think he was a little slow. Tony is in shock that Andrea thinks that him wiping the computers and going to see Rob looks suspicious. He's like, what? But I didn't kill her. What? That's the answer to everything. Just, I didn't kill her. But Andrea's like, you wiped the computers the night of the murder and you had gone to see him multiple times. He's like, but I didn't kill her. What are you talking about?
He didn't kill him.
What are you talking about? So... then we finally all see the dangly earring on the defense lawyer. It's like a hoop. What do you want to say?
I noticed it when your mom noticed
it. Really?
I have in my notes, they flashed the defense attorney and I said, in caps, does he have an earring? An earring is spelled wrong because I was typing so fast. me and your mom.
Don't ever. Eagle eyes. You don't want. But she does really. She's like a savant. Who like catches the most random things and then doesn't know what the word epiphany means. So she really might be a weird kind of genius. So she's, she saw the earring. Then we all see it, but it's like a hoop and it constantly shakes.
Big hoop.
I don't know if he's shaking his head or not, but it is shaking, and Andrea can't stop looking at it. So at one point in the interview, she just starts looking away. Go back and watch. She literally, her eyes keep being drawn to it, and then she just looks away for the rest of the interview.
Oh, Andrea. Oh.
I know. She's a pro. She's always a pro. I want to know.
Well, she probably was going to start laughing. It's like if you and I are together watching something that's a bit awkward.
Yes.
We can't look.
Yes.
You can't look at the thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So you have to look down and to the
right. She had the church giggles. She had, for sure.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
So this is the best part. Tony tried to ask a friend in Texas for a 380 magazine for his gun a few months before the murder. Why? Because he says it was a conversation starter. Andrea, at this point, just busts out laughing right in Tony's face. She cannot contain it. She's usually so deadpan. She can't. She's like, no, I'm sorry. No, Tony, a conversation starter's like, how are your children? It is not, can I get a 380 magazine for this gun? The defense lawyer with the earring hoop says that we have no proof that Tony was in New Jersey that night. There's no toll booth videos. There's nothing like that. Like, how did he get to New Jersey? And why do we have no proof that he was there? And then he's in his closing, he does this weird kippy thing where he's like, we have to do what is right in here, pointing to our brains, but not what's right in here, like in our hearts. Or maybe he did the opposite. I don't know. But it should be both. I don't think that's the right thing to say to a jury because they should be following their brains. I just didn't like it. I didn't like it. And I think Cecilia Love was given some side eye at that, too. She was really struggling to follow him. But it did confuse the jury because the jury has to deliberate for 4 days. Shocked me. I think that means that the food they were getting was really good because to me, this should not have taken 4 days to deliberate.
There was no physical evidence. There was no physical evidence.
I agree with you. And everyone on Twitter was very upset. But I 100% was like, there's plenty. There is enough for me. He's guilty.
Really?
100%.
We'll have to get into this because I did not think there was enough.
Yeah, a lot of people on Twitter thought there wasn't enough.
Well, I'm with a lot of people on Twitter.
Yeah, I am against all of you. Okay, so he's found guilty after 4 days. He says he didn't do it. His speech is, I'm a father and I would never take away these girls' fathers. And I was like, oh yeah, Rob had kids. I keep forgetting that he had children. But then I remember, oh yeah, they were in that basement that was being used as like a sex party house. So we get to meet the coworker again. And he says, please, like, never let him see the light of day to the judge. And he gets full life sentence.
He was sentenced to life with no possibility of early release.
Yeah. So
for the first charge of murder, we are not given any other sentencing on the other, by the way, 11 charges, which I have.
Oh, good. Okay. So then the episode ends and we never find out a single thing about those other two murders. those two old ladies that were stabbed.
I was so surprised.
They never mention it again.
No, it's it.
They don't go, OPS, BT dubs, that was a totally another thing.
That's
they should
next
have
week.
Said something. That's
2 hours. 2 hours. 2 hour yes. episode. They wrapped off
these
all three.
1 hour episodes are so brutal because they just brushed right over them. They brought those up and now they're gone. I can't. My OMG moment happened directly after the episode ended when the news started and there's news of a fire in a hotel and my mom and I both said, oy vey, at the same time. And I was like, oh, I'm turning into my mother. I must leave this house immediately. That was my OMG moment from the news after Dateline. So, what do I have for a classic Dateline moment? Do you have anything, key moments you want to add or bring up before I go into my classic Dateline moment?
Yeah, I had an OMG moment, which was the earring, which I already discussed, the pirate hoop that I couldn't even begin. Yeah, that was big. That was a big deal for me. It was one earring. Who does that anymore?
No, people on Twitter were upset. They also said if he was wearing jeans and a t-shirt, it still wouldn't have been a good look, let alone in a courtroom.
No, none of it.
None of it.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Why did you hire a lawyer with a earring? Bad choice, Tony.
Yep.
Classic Dateline moment was Andrea says, it is said that everyone has three lives, a public life, a private life, and a secret life. Now that sounds so exhausting, having that many lives. I'm going to stick with just one, I've decided. It's going to be my private life. It's going to be me on my couch with my dog. I am going to skip the public life and the secret life altogether because I do not have the energy for that right now. So for me, just one life. You can have two. Do you have three? I don't know.
No, I don't have three.
Do you have two?
I'm trying to have two.
So yeah, it's a struggle just to have two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a struggle to have two. The
How
secret
these,
life
everyone
seems
have
really
three?
Difficult. Also, who was it a secret from?
Well, she had a... Well, it became not a secret.
Really
but I
quickly.
Guess very quickly became not a secret. That's true.
Yeah, I don't...
Yeah, it seemed like everyone pretty much knew. So, not so much a secret. And my MVP here would be Andrea, because I think no one else won in this episode. It was just
Andrea in the mint green sweater
was a winner. No one else won, in my opinion. Did you have any winners, MVPs?
Yeah, my MVP was, strangely, I very much liked Celia Love. Well, I guess that's
okay.
Not strange. I liked her a lot.
We liked her.
I thought the prosecutor that came on for the trial, Wayne, I think his name was, I thought that he was very dramatic and I liked his style. He was my classic Dateline moment because he did the oldest motive in the world. She and he done him wrong. That was his, yeah. But also, he was kind of driving me nuts because I didn't understand why he had so much stubble on his upper lip. Did you see it? It was really intense stubble.
Like he just didn't shave for the trial?
Yeah, for his Dateline episode. And I don't understand why you don't shave completely for your Dateline interview. You need to, shave that.
Do you think we could start a business that is personal consulting for people who are about to appear on Dateline?
Now that you're friends with Andrea Canning on Twitter, can we maybe have a conversation with her and she can tell us what happens in the setup for the actual filming of the episode? Do they have a stylist come in? Do they have a rack of wardrobe? Do they have people consulting on hair and makeup? What does Dateline offer you when you come in for your interviews? Because they've got to have some of that stuff, right? We got to find out what it is.
I think, and we're skipping ahead a little to Joan Rivers Fashion Police, but... I sometimes think that the people they don't like as much or the people who they think are kind of the maybe might be the killer, they don't put as much effort into their looks. So they don't pat them down. They keep them oily. Remember that novelist who had the big water stain on his shirt?
Yes, and, I do remember that.
None of the producers or wardrobe people said a single thing. They wanted him to look like a doofus on TV. They put Tony in that sweater that is... so nubby and ridiculous.
A prison sweater.
I think it came out of the prison Lost and Found.
I think
and
maybe.
And they shoved it on him and it might have bed bugs. And they shoved it on him right before and it looks itchy. Just very uncomfortable.
Wow.
So I think there might be a person, but they just go, no, you look great to people that they don't want to look good. No, that sweater looks great on you, Tony. But in reality, it looks terrible. So I really think this could be a new career for us.
So we'll just quit this. Wait, do you could do both. Are you moving on to Fashion Police? What are you doing?
No, I was going to go to Loser of the Episode.
Oh, who's your loser?
My loser of the episode are basement bedrooms everywhere because they are now ruined. Just done. That 70s show kind of made them charming, and now they are just ruined because lovers happened there. And also maybe I feel like French people didn't come off looking that great in this episode. French to me?
I think they look fine. French people do not care also. No way.
Yeah, that's true. They don't give two hoots what we think
they
about them.
They do not care. They are fine. Mm-hmm. I loved it at the end. Tony's family, his three daughters, who he raised as, quote-unquote, Mr. Mom, they were all in Europe living with their mom in some new, like, fancy French mm-hmm. European or / European lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I was like, well,
I think she got what she wanted. I think she wanted her daughters to be more continental, and she got it. She got away from that loser husband in the bad sweater.
It's definitely possible.
Oh, I did forget one Fashion Police thing that came up on Twitter that I did not notice. Maybe you noticed. There was one guy, I think it was an investigator, mm-hmm. who had a collared shirt that had a huge dirt stain on it.
And
it really bothered a lot of people on Twitter. I did not notice.
Which one was it?
And I'm embarrassed. I don't know. And I didn't notice it.
Oh, okay.
But
we'll
it drove
it.
A lot of the OCD people crazy. Oh, and it would have driven me crazy too if I had seen it. Because again, I don't know why. Yes, there needs to be someone behind the camera. One of us being like, he has dirt all over his shirt. You want us to trust this investigator? We're not going to trust him. He can't even keep his shirt clean.
For Dateline.
Use a shout wipe and then move on. It's not that hard.
That's true.
Okay, what else do you have for Fashion Police?
So for Fashion Police, I wanted to really quickly go through the unbelievably French style of Sophie Minot at the trial, which was the silky blouse unbuttoned. Did you notice how many buttons were undone? So there were a lot of undone buttons with sort of long...
Because she's a lover.
She is a lover. She was wearing these sort of long, dangly, antique earrings with sort of a man-style camel-colored blazer over the top that was a little big, so sort of sloppy almost, and her hair was sort of... She had this sort of...
Yes, like wild.
She had wild lover hair, and it was...
Yes, sort of she
like,
did.
She was like
bedhead, like I had just come from a romp in the sack with somebody.
But then perfect skin. Love. So just flawless skin and just sort of small facial features. No, she was ridiculous. This sort of... Sometimes men love that wild horse thing. But she's got that super romantic accent. It's not even just how she looks. It's her whole persona. It's that whole thing that she had going on.
Wow, so it did nothing for me.
Well, that's... You're not a lover.
No, not a lover. Clearly.
You're not a lover. You're a fighter. So then I want to talk about how Andrea moved through a series of mint green sweaters, aqua to seafoam to mint green, the entire episode. There were two very brief moments where she's in a different blue color, but really it was a green, sort of a mint green blouse to a mint green rib sweater, then the sort of a seafoam cashmere sweater. She wore the same color. She didn't change.
Well, I think her stylist... Her stylist is doing like a themed thing. Each episode will now have a color scheme. You know, like paint samples, different shades of the same color.
Right,
and
that's
what
they did.
This was her blue period. And
no,
so
it was her mint green period.
Her mint green period.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we're going to see more of. And then in another episode, maybe there'll be a lot of pink peach hues, you know?
True,
and then,
or like a lavender. Yeah, you're right.
That's what I think. She's going through phases.
I think her eyes are like a blue-green. I think they're the kind of eyes that change color. I think if she wears a more green shirt, they show up more green. I think they're an aqua. That's what
I think. Okay. Aqua seems... I consider aqua blue, so I still think I won that bet.
But I think aqua has green undertones.
It does.
If you wear something green, it brings out more green in your eyes.
Okay. I'll submit to that.
I am solving that argument right now.
Okay,
between
you
and your parents.
Did you have any alternative theories?
I'm not convinced about Tony, period, but I want to talk really quick, since it's alternative theories, the information I found out.
Okay.
So there were 11 charges brought against him. He was found guilty on 8 of them. And the ones he was found guilty on were murder, arson, desecrating human remains.
Oh.
I know.
Destroying the body.
and destroying evidence. Those were some of the ones he was convicted of. But yeah, desecrating human remains, I thought, sounds so sinister. It sounds like a Jeffrey Dahmer verdict. Mm-hmm. And then he was acquitted of felony murder. So I don't know what the difference is between murder one and felony murder, but he was acquitted of that and then acquitted of burglary charges. So I guess they tried to bring up burglary charges.
Were there things missing in the house? I don't know. It was all burned to the ground.
That's what I'm wondering. I don't know. Yeah, were they managed? Okay, so my other thing, here's the problem that I have. He was arrested in May 2012. This did not come to trial in fall 2015.
Wow,
what the heck took 3 years?
Wow, and he was in jail that whole time.
I think he's in jail that whole time. So it makes sense that Sophie moved with the girls, right? Mm-hmm. When you find that out, you're like, no. Okay. But I thought that was a little, they sort of glossed over it really quickly. And that seemed crazy to me. But I'm not convinced that they had enough to convict him.
A few people were just furious and they were like, it's just because he's Asian and that's why he was convicted. They had no evidence. Yeah, you know, people on Twitter. And then, but
why?
Most,
because he's
most,
Asian.
I don't know. But most people, there wasn't enough to convict him because it was all circumstantial. But here's my thing. Before DNA, all cases were circumstantial. Like, you very rarely had eyewitnesses being like, yes, they did it, or a person confessing, yes, I did it. Usually it was a set of circumstances, and reasonable doubt is very vague, but to me, it made perfect sense that he did it. There was no one else. Unless we go with my alternate theory, which is that Rob was at the museum earlier in the day and he said something really dumb, and Sophie is French and kind of an art snob and was like, oh my God, I have to murder this guy. He just called a Monet a Manet. He has to go. And also my husband with the sweaters is driving me crazy. So I'm going to kill Rob and then frame my dumbass husband for it. And then she told him to clean his computers because she's like, I put porn on your computer.
The pornography.
You must wipe it in case the police ever come for us for random questioning. And her husband's like, okay, you're French. I'll do whatever you say. So I think she told her husband to clean his computers because she wanted to frame him for murder. And then she could get rid of both guys and get her kids and go live in France with smarter people than us.
Yeah.
Wow, the phone is ringing.
Is that a landline in the background?
Yes, it is. My parents do have a landline.
I love it. Did your parents think he did it?
Yeah. My dad thought, though, that it didn't have to do with the affair, that when Tony went to talk to Rob and they started talking about food and cooking, they got into a big argument about cooking styles or what types of food cuisines are better. One guy liked
farm to table.
Maybe one guy liked Taco Bell and one person liked Del Taco. I don't know. But he thinks that was the fight that caused the whole thing. Okay. It didn't really have a lot of the facts behind it. Okay, do you have any alternate titles?
Yeah, I do.
Go for it. What do you have? Oh, I should do mine first.
They're not very
good.
Yours
are always better than mine.
Do you always say that? Mine have not been good in many episodes. I have the Mohair Murderer, and then I have a little bit of a pun, which is Love and Death in the Basement, but I want Love to be spelled like Love.
Oh, my God.
Like the Love.
Yeah, I got it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Oh, boy.
You're welcome, everybody. Yeah. Love and Death in the Basement. It's good. That's classy. It's classy-ish.
Yeah, ish.
What do you have?
My alternate titles are, My Dad Thinks the Light Blue Top Washes Out Andrea. Second title, Love in a Basement Bedroom to the Tune of Love in an Elevator. You didn't like that one at all, okay? Yeah, she groaned at that one. This next one is, Conversation Starter Tips for the Socially Awkward. Step 1, ask for a gun magazine.
It's good.
Okay. And my last one, going with my friends theme, I'm going to keep with these friends titles. The one where nobody cared about the two old ladies who were murdered.
That's so good. One of whom is named literally Dolores.
Yes.
Which is, you can't be under 70 and have the name Dolores. No. She was 74, I think.
And no one cares. We're just
no
over
one
it.
Cares.
We're just
wait, done. How about this one? The pirate defense, : are you sure he did it?
Oh, my God.
Because of the pirate earring.
Yeah, I got it. I got it.
Just making sure you got it.
Yeah, no, I for sure got it.
Okay. Okay. What did Twitter say?
Let's go to Twitter really fast. See if
I love Twitter.
I know.
Anything from Adam Swiderski?
Yes, I have a couple. Jeremy Bradley. I once knew a Tony Tongue. Good times. Whew, warm in here.
That's great.
Yeah, I know. A lot about the sweater. You're a lamb. Prison gets chilly at night. That's all.
That's great. Because they did try to surprise us. We should mention that. They didn't tell us. Yeah.
RDR, did Tony knit that sweater in prison? No, I don't think they allow you knitting needles, but they might allow you crochet hooks. Rayford, he's about that pirate life. See? You're not... I thought you might like that one. This is my example of the fights that people get on Twitter, which are classic. Two exact different responses came at the same time. Atomic Brunette, how dare Tony use Indiana Jones as an alibi? At the exact same time, Square Bear, if Indiana Jones isn't the best alibi ever, then I don't want to go on.
That's right.
If people can fight about these things, we have no hope for politics.
I don't think you mentioned that was his alibi, that he said he had watched like an Indiana Jones marathon and he couldn't have possibly marathon. Have left the house. Oh, brother.
Yes. Adam Swiderski, I want to see these two lawyers in a production of Waiting for Godot.
Seriously, the two lawyers were amazing. It was this very calm, dramatic prosecutor, and then the pirate lawyer was all over the map. He had like shaky hands going at one point. Did you see him? He was sort of waving his hand up in the air like a Baptist preacher. He was doing the hallelujah. He was great. Oh, just the white-haired wizards of New Jersey.
J. Malstedt, did anyone think it was weird how Sophie was basically making out with the microphone while speaking on the stand? I didn't.
She would come very close and then talk about the things like this. And she was very soft-spoken. And then she would put up her glasses.
Taggy Angel.
Oh, excuse me, my blouse is unbuttoned.
Okay, sorry, I'm done.
Taggy Angel. I know this fool isn't wearing an earring in court. Tony, you in danger, girl. Wait, I had to include that because I was at this big event with Whoopi Goldberg yesterday and I was sitting two rows behind her and they showed a clip of her reel and they did the you in danger, Molly, you in danger, girl.
Molly,
from Ghost,
you in danger, girl.
And I hooted like, woo. And Whoopi gave side look like, who did that? Like, why did that get such a big reaction? I was so embarrassed.
Didn't anybody else? Who?
I think so, but I was sitting right behind her. So I think it startled her. I think it startled Whoopi. I'm so sorry, Whoopi. It's such a good line. I'm going to cross-stitch it on like a pillow. Adam Swiderski again. This murder couldn't have happened any other way. Jesus, get on with it, guy. Are you being paid by the minute or what? Okay, so many people commented on how slow-talking...
Yeah, he was.
Gary Georgievich, Rob, hey guys, do you want to go to a museum and visit my girlfriend and her daughter? Dudes, I guess?
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, Amber says, my coworkers don't even do their own job. Rob's coworkers are trying to get justice for his death. I mean, sigh. I feel bad for Amber. RDR, I love RDR. I'm not racist, but I was not expecting that voice. Thank you. Thank you. Marty G, maybe she just didn't want tongue for her last name anymore. That would so be a valid reason to do this whole thing. You just didn't want to be tongue your last name anymore. That's valid. S.H. Sweet Lady, hi, sir. Please take me to the room you banged my wife in. A couple more from Twitter. We have... Twitter was on fire tonight. I'm sorry I picked so many, but I couldn't not... Will Richardson, Tony has done it again, but spelled like the band.
Yes.
Do you remember the band?
Of course I do. Yeah.
I feel like we're definitely alienating our younger viewers with this one, because that was like 80s?
No, it was 90s.
90s?
Yeah, it was 90s.
Was it pronounced Tony?
Yes, pronounced Tony, but spelled three different ways. Was it three people called Tony?
I do not know.
I think Tony was one dude.
But he spelled... Maybe he had multiple personalities. I have many questions.
Can you imagine him trying to pitch that name to music producers? Like he went to Warner Brothers or he went to, you know, one of these sound
people. Warner
Brothers
music group now?
Yeah. Warner Music? Yeah.
Okay, sure.
And said, was like, so I'm a musician and what's your name? Well, my name is Tony Blank, but I'm going to go with Tony, all spelled different ways. I think everyone in the room would just be silent.
No, I think they'd be like, this is the 90s. Anything goes. Sure. You're wearing hammer pants.
I was just going to say, I love you, Bugle Boys.
Yeah, so anything goes. Who are we to judge? Look at what we're wearing.
Do you see how crunchy my bangs are? It feels good.
Yeah. I'm not one to judge your name. Yeah, Whitney, Tony should have been arrested for that stupid sweater. Michael Scutero, just because it clicks for the rest of the episode, I'm calling him DJ Tony Tongue. I love it so much.
It does.
Kelly Smith said, not a lot of dudes go to another dude's house to ask him to stop seeing his wife, then become friends. And Rebecca Crook wrote, only if cheater dude is a good mechanic. It's always good to have a friend like that. And then it made me think, you know, Tony seemed kind of like a dork. And I wonder if he kind of thought Rob was really cool. And he was be like, Sophie, Rob really likes me and he's so cool. I want to keep hanging out with him.
Well, they did also have some stuff in common. I mean, he was a software engineer and Tony was a computer guy.
Yeah. And they both liked food.
They both liked food. Oh, brother.
I think Tony developed a man crush on Rob and thought he was handy and cool and wanted to hang out with him more. Oh, yeah. Tony is a full-on stalker.
Yeah.
See, I have no doubts he did it. Summer of Soaps. Did that prosecutor just say a child of tongue? That sounds like a Star Trek movie sequel.
Child of tongue.
Rebecca
Lord
Crook.
Lord of the dance.
After we had running in common, having an affair was the next step. Right? Jamie Bailey, more confirmation that running is bad. It starts affairs, but I'm safe. Rhonda Lynch, why is Sophie sitting so close to the microphone? It's bugging me. Lysol wipe anyone? Two people noticed that she was making out with them. I don't get it.
She was.
Widow VMM 104, Sophie just said gun like Inspector Clouseau, which would be like gun. Right?
Yes.
Gun. Adam Swiderski, the prosecutor attended the William Shatner Dramatic Pause School of Law.
Yes, he did.
And the last one that killed me was Keisler Soze. Sacre bleu, the femme fatale is taking the witness stand.
It's good.
Because it's all written out. And I just really wanted to do a French accent. It's not very good. I really apologize.
You were brilliant.
Twitter was great this year. Please keep tweeting.
This year? Love it. This whole year? Good job,
this year,
Twitter.
Sorry. Last night? I don't know. What day is it?
But let's be honest. 2017 is the year of the Twitter.
That is.
It's done.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
I want to join Twitter as a personal account so I can keep up on all of the good stuff that's going on Twitter, because it seems to be where all the action
is. It's not so much good stuff on Twitter. It's terrible stuff in life.
That's what I mean.
That people make fun of on Twitter. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
And speaking of Twitter, our things in the news section, I wanted to bring up things in the news. I don't know. It's all in the news.
Our For our listeners out there, Kimberly added new segment without telling me. This is, it's news to me.
Oh my God. Our good friend Z Princess posted, she's our dear friend, posted a picture of Keith as a Cupid baby, as a naked Cupid baby.
No,
which
she did
I had asked for last week, and she made it come true. Now, Keith has not responded yet, and I feel like he might be fearful. I tweeted, this is great, but our apologies for showing Keith naked as a baby. It doesn't show the respect that he deserves. But I'm really happy that someone just made my meme dreams come true. I asked for it.
I know you
did. We wanted Keith to start his own reality show where he puts forlorn lovers together.
We did want that. But only you wanted Keith as baby in a baby Cupid in a diaper. Is he in a diaper? It's a diaper picture, right? He's not fully in the buff.
I don't know which one's worse. And our new friend, who we don't even know, and her name's MGM Tattoos, she asked Dateline if there was a picture of Keith and Mankiewicz leaning against each other. And if said picture exists, could they please share it with us? Josh Mankiewicz wrote back saying, yes, the next time we are going to meet, we are going to do this picture for you. Keith wrote, I actually have leaned on Mank and he is quite sturdy. And then Dateline said, oh, well, we're going to keep this leaning Lester Holt rabbit ears picture in our pocket. then for a while. And I wrote back, what? Why aren't you getting more follow-up questions about this rabbit ear Lester Holt photo? Please don't just drop information like that and then walk away.
Yeah,
and
it's not cool.
But they do know how to tell a mystery. So yeah, that is like them. So today they tweeted the picture and it's Josh and Keith leaning up against each other while at the same time Keith is giving Lester Holt the bunny ears in the photo.
And it's that's so gonna beautiful. Be my new profile picture.
It's
that's
so
wonderful.
Beautiful. Like I almost went blind. It was just it was glorious. It was just glorious. And it's all because of MGM tattoos. She made it happen. And
MGM
I said,
tattoos, you're amazing.
I said, and they say heroes don't exist anymore.
Oh my gosh.
And I also said there are two parts of our lives, before we saw the double lean and after we saw the double lean. And we got a double lean with rabbit ears and Lester. All we need is Andrea Canning and Dennis Murphy sitting on the floor, laying down, like kneeling with their hand under their chin, like they're at a slumber party, just watching, just fascinated by what's happening, I think.
I want that as a Christmas card. Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Yes.
For Christmas slash holiday events, Hanukkah events, please.
Did you say Hanukkah events?
No, here's the deal. Honestly, I had something in the back of my throat at that exact moment. I heard it, and I was just going to keep going. I was going to keep going and hope that it had not come out. Hanukkah had not come out. Hanukkah, and it did. And I was going to breeze right through. You're the one that called it out. I wasn't doing it on purpose.
I'm a Jew. It's my job to call out Gentiles when
this
they
was
over-pronunciate
not,
Hanukkah.
This was not a croissant or a bruschetta moment. This was not that kind of a moment. It was not on purpose. It came out with another thing that was in my throat. Okay. I swear, on accident. I did. Okay. You know,
thought
I
thought you were just trying
that.
To all of a sudden be like really supportive.
And
Jewish.
I was really.
I'm
going
to be a good. I haven't been a good enough friend to Kimberly being Jewish.
I was
gonna
really
start overpronouncing Hanukkah.
I was really hoping you hadn't heard it. I was really hoping that I had heard it incorrectly come out of my mouth. I'm going to have to cut this all out.
No, you're leaving it. That's all we have for you today. No, please leave it in. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review with the star and a comment. Even if it says this sucks, we just want the comments. Want to hear what you think, please. Please write us on Twitter and tell us what you think. If you don't leave us a review, you'll be forced to consummate an affair in a basement bedroom with a guy wearing Tony's itchy sweater and the defense attorney's pirate earring.
What the?
That is your punishment. And remember, don't watch alone. Watch with us and DJ Tony Tongue, bringing you the hottest jams for your drives into New Jersey to murder your wife's lover.
Woo!
Bye,
everybody.
Bye, everybody.